date though, because I'm like, also like my family wants me to date, and I'm just like, oh,
fuck them though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like, I'm just, like, it's me, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
It's kind of rough though.
What's rough?
Because like a lot of people in my family, like they have like fiancés now, or they've been with their partner for like years.
Yeah.
Or like, also like I have a couple cousins where like they've met someone and like it just like they hit it off and they seem so healthy and happy. Mm-hmm. Which I know also like at face value you see this happy part of the relationship, like that's what people project, and like that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're not privy to those details.
Yeah.
And so like I see that and I'm like, fuck, I want to be like happy with someone, or just like to have this stability, or like you have like an understanding.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Overthinker the Podcast. This episode is a little different than the other episodes, and I'm really excited to share it with you guys. As you can hear from this clip that's playing now, it was honestly just me recording a conversation I had with my friend secretly, and I told her afterward, of course, but I just really wanted to capture a real life conversation. And I'm sure many of you have had conversations like this where, you know, you're slightly drunk and if you're single, you're thinking about the person that you're going to end up with and kind of watching from the outside. On one hand, wanting this healthy relationship, but also not exactly knowing what it is or trying to figure out what it looks like to even have a healthy relationship. So I went out, I hit the streets, and I sat down with a bunch of my much older, wiser friends and just got their thoughts about what it looks like to love somebody, what it looks like to have a healthy relationship. And, you know, I asked friends from a variety of places in life. I had friends that are single, to friends that are in serious relationships or have wanted to date, friends that have been married for a very long time, and just was sharing their insight about what it means to have a healthy relationship. It's not limited to just romantic relationships, but what it looks like to have a healthy relationship with yourself and how that contributes to eventually having healthy relationships with your loved ones, whether that's friendships, whether that's family, whether that's coworkers, right? I just really wanted to find the common theme between all of the things that people are saying, whether it's on one side where they haven't had that healthy relationship yet, or it's on the other side where they're already dating or they're already married. I wanted to find that thread, because for a lot of us that have not had healthy relationships, it's kind of frustrating when it's difficult to tap into how people are having successful relationships. It's hard to put words to what a healthy relationship even is or what we're looking for in a person. So I wanted to be able to put words to that, asking questions like, what is healthy? What does it look like? How do people get there? Is it something natural, or is it something that you have to fight for over time? And is there a point at which people recognize that they need it? Because we see the examples around us, and sometimes all of it is pointing towards having unhealthy relationships, whether it's because of how you were raised or the environment you grew up in. And so at what point do you put your foot down and decide that healthy relationship is something that you want, and you recognize that the way you've been living is not healthy, and you start rewriting a lot of the ways you see life and love and relationships? This is kind of that process, from being unaware and being addicted to a certain type of relationship that isn't healthy, and then gaining the realization that there's something more out there and there's something to work toward, and there's a healthier and more stable way of living. The first theme that I really saw across all of these interviews was starting with yourself. What does it look to, first of all, know yourself, and then to be completely accepting of that self, the faults and all of the insecurities that we have? Only when that solid foundation is built can you join together with another healthy individual.
Like have your goals or what you want, and it's very complicated, like, as an individual, and it changes constantly too.
That's true. I mean, you have to figure out what you want, like, that's
the thing. Step one.
Yeah.
Because once you figure that out, then you can find somebody who's like equally as stable.
Yeah, but like I think because once you figure out what you want, you make steps towards that, and then like you like some finding someone else along the way kind of falls into place there. Like
yeah, exactly.
Because like, they tend to have like similar goals and interests.
Like you can't look for them.
Yeah,
you almost have to look for like your ideal version of yourself, and it's like, find somebody on the way of that. You know.
That actually is kind of what my issues with like online dating is you. The vast majority of people are looking for someone to fill a void. And, like, I just, like, don't want that. Like,
yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
not healthy. Like, someone being that interested in you, like, day one, right? Like, we talked about that. Like, it's not, like, they have something wrong with them if they're that, like, they have nothing else going on that, like, they latch onto you and your what you're doing. Like, that's not great.
I think that has a lot to do with codependency issues of, you know, you hear the phrase like love bombing and all that stuff of like, you're just so sure right then and there that it's that person. And it's not because you're truly in love with that person. It's you're in love with the idea of being with that person.
And not only that, but you're in love with how they make you.
That's exactly what it is. It's not a true unconditional love, which I don't even know if that's a thing outside of familial relationships. I don't know that I believe in unconditional love. I definitely think that people who fall very quick and very hard, in some instances that's totally normal and understandable, but for most people who go through that experience, it is codependency. And it's craving that attention and craving that feeling more so than that specific person, if you can feel it that frequently and that quickly.
Yeah.
You want to think logically at the same time you want to have the feelings. So it's hard to have that boundary of where do I stop, where does what start? Because you want to be carried away with the feelings. Because it's a great feeling to have, right? To be loved and to love is a great feeling to have. But then where is the boundary of am I getting too carried away? Especially in a new relationship with the whole we both love each other and the excitement, the pheromones and the moans.
I think that's why you have to
the moans. I was gonna go for the hormones, the moans.
I have a really hard time when the emotions have become so much that I'm like, I realize that I am attracted to somebody, controlling that attraction and stopping it. No matter how many people tell you, no, even though you know it yourself, there's like this unrational desire and drive.
That's
just
when
no
feelings
more,
and emotions come into place. If you don't have control of your emotions are controlling you. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you have to understand that it's gonna go away. Like, feelings come and go, and that's how it goes. That's how we are. We're very emotional. We're created that way. But if you're able to like see past that and look at a bigger picture of like. The potential and the value that you could create with this person, you know, past the feelings and emotions, you know, you're like walking on solid ground.
So have you experienced this before?
You know, I've experienced, I think it was more of obsession, where I wanted someone to love me so badly that I tried to be and do whatever to get them to be attracted to me or like me. A lot of other guys, I was obsessed with him, and I would try to like work out more if I thought they like fit girls, or I would try to have a better career, make more money if I felt like that was important to them. Like, I always try to be like the type of girl that I thought they liked.
If you haven't learned a way to, you know, see those signs and stop them, everyone can tell you this is not healthy, and you're like, no, it's totally fine. Like, I don't see anything wrong with this, or, oh, it's so bad that it's okay, I can fix it, or it might be bad, but the love is worth it. And when in reality it's not, you're just trying to tell yourself as a method of protection, which only ends up making it worse at the end.
So to actually admit to oneself that you're wrong, sometimes that's also the difficult part.
Because that's actually how I felt with you guys for a while, because I was dating so many different people, and like every time it'd be like somebody else. So yeah, I think there's some shame associated with that of like,
right.
Of like, oh, they must be so annoyed. Like,
but it's also like the trial of error of, oh, what are my boundaries? So you do, it's okay to go through those relationships because you're trying to figure out what are my boundaries, what can I handle, what can I not handle, what can I fix or what can I not fix. There's a lot of components to it, so it's okay to go through a lot of relationships. You're trying to figure it out,
so it's not that it's a bad thing.
I think love for me has looked like different things depending on what age I am.
Oh,
depending on the experiences that I've had, and then depending on what my own like self-care, self-love looks like. When my self-care and self-love is really strong, and when I'm feeling that I'm taking care of myself very well, romantic love and even friendship and family love look very different.
Mm.
So like with my family is pretty affectionate, and I'm pretty affectionate, but I've also had to learn to give them boundaries as I've gotten older, just like in the things that they say and challenging things that they say and that they do to show their love. Like my mother's a very affectionate and loving person, but I also didn't have the courage to say some things to her that I needed to say for boundaries, and so now I have. So like, for example, she'll say things like, you know, if I love you, then I will tell you the truth about yourself, which I think is great. And I think it's a great point to make, even as a mom. But there are some things I'm like, you have to learn still how to say it with grace.
Yeah.
Because I don't receive it then as love. I get defensive. Mm-hmm. Or she'll say, like, really quickly, because there was an outfit that I wanted to buy, and I sent her a picture. And she was like, well, you're going to have to go on a liquid diet before you buy that first. And in her mind, she's saying it out of love. She's like, I love you.
Yeah.
You need to lose weight. And I'm like, that was really rude.
Yeah.
And don't ever talk to me like that.
Yeah.
You would never say that to anybody else, ever. You would never say it to a colleague. You would never say it to a friend. You should not say it to your daughter.
Yeah.
And she was so taken aback. And it was actually the first time that I've been able to say, actually me say it with love. I used to get like really hot and nasty. And then I've had to be like, no, you won't ever say that again.
Again, too, with my mom, I recently had to do the same thing, and I was like, wow, she'd said something to me, and I remember getting off the phone and crying because I didn't know how to tell her, like, you're not gonna talk to me that way.
Yeah.
I know you didn't mean it that way, but you can't, like, I'm grown, and just the way you said it, it really hurt. And so I, like, had to take a breather. I remember just crying my eyes out. And then calling her back like, hey, that really hurt my feelings. And she's like, what? What? I was just playing. I was like, well, you can't play with me like that. Like, you just can't.
Wow.
So if I didn't love myself, I think I would have taken it very personal.
Yeah. So it's looked completely different as things have changed. Yeah. Romantic love looks a whole lot different the more I've learned to love myself. Also setting boundaries, but also then realizing that we all have fallen and we all need grace. And so what I realized when I was younger is that I would give myself all the grace in the world. I would never give it to whoever I was dealing with romantically and say, like, you meant to hurt me, you meant that. And it was like, well, no, you can't make that assumption.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot more understanding now because I understand that we're all struggling with things, that we're not perfect. And even though I knew that before, I didn't act that way.
Mm.
Now I know it and I act that way.
Yeah,
but I'm also very strict on like other things. Like for example, like in courting. Like if you're courting me, I think it should be really consistent and I think it should be really intentional. And if it's not, I have no problem saying it now. Like this just, it just may not be for you because this is what I need. Yeah, so just depending on my age, depending on how well I am. Like I realize that when I'm not in a place where I'm loving myself very well, I'll let my boundaries kind of fall to the wayside, or I'll let things happen to me or be said to me that I know are not right. But when I'm in a place where I'm really loving myself and I'm totally convinced of my worth and value, then I'm like, no, this is how you're going to treat me. And I've learned to do that in a way that's graceful and that's kind.
I guess it would have to be my standards of how I expect to live myself. When I find a partner, I want to be able to have certain things. I'm looking for certain things, like certain responsibility factors, certain genuineness, active outdoorsy. And if that's not existent, if that little minimalism isn't there, then I don't know. It's just not, it's not going to be working. And truthfully, I'm looking for a good person anyways. So if you're kind of, if you're a jerk and you don't have those little basic kindness factors, then you're not a fit for me. Thank you. Oh.
So basically you don't want to just pick up some random drunk lady off the street?
Oh no, definitely not. Because some people are just crazy, and you just turn. It's funny. It's like even when you think you know somebody, you really don't. I've interacted with people where, or I have friends who they've known them for so long, and yet they still surprise me. I thought I knew my ex for so long, and I was still blindsided. You really truly have no idea. You're just taking a leap of faith.
For versus with him, it's just totally different in that way.
You feel like you can be yourself.
Yeah, I feel like I can be myself, and because he's seen me so awful, like I can throw temper tantrums like I'm freaking 8 years old. It's so embarrassing. So, but he doesn't shame me for it. Like, talk about it when we're both calm, and I'll apologize, and he accepts my apology, and it makes me just want to work on those things more and be better, and vice versa. When he does something, I'll call him out on it, and he'll just think about it, and he'll say, you know what, you're right. I was being petty in that moment. I'm sorry. It's something I need to work on. And so instead of, like, shaming each other or being like, you need to be like this or that person, I feel like we try to maybe show each other blind spots without putting each other down, you know? And, yeah, and I definitely just feel like he sees me, he sees all my flaws, and he's okay with it because he sees that I'm working on it and I acknowledge them, and versus like being repelled by me and thinking, oh man, this won't work, you know? Instead he's like, how's this going to work knowing she's like this? And I feel the same way about him. I'm like, how's this going to work knowing he's like this? Yeah.
Relationships and what it looks like.
Yeah.
So for you, what do you think a healthy relationship looks like?
Yeah, so healthy relationship, it involves being healthy. And so it's not just with you, but whoever you have a relationship with. So I think being healthy means you understand who you are at a level that's enough for you to understand that you can be with someone regardless of your insecurities or your faults. I believe that there's a moment or a point in your life where you're confident enough to like be like okay with who you are, and that means everything, your skills, your faults, or like whatever you're good at and whatever you're not good at. So you're like all of it, you put it together, you're just comfortable with that. You embrace that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a healthy state of like, I am all of these things, but I'm still working and I'm still like going forward, try to like better myself. But at the same time, if you have all those things, to not just like only keep it for yourself, but like to be open to like sharing. And when you have someone that it's in the same lane,
Yeah. You
can like both just go together. If this is like a romantic relationship, it just builds something so beautiful because you want to be closer to that person. As close as you can. As close as you've ever wanted to be with anyone, you know?
Wait, so why though? Why the closeness?
Because the more you understand that person, the more you allow yourself to be understood as well. The trust and just the whole thing, just everything grows. And it is so, it gets strengthened. Like, the strength of it is so, so powerful. It's not like I'm taking you with me. It's like we're both going towards something, like towards a goal or towards whatever you want to accomplish. And it's not selfish, but it's selfless. That's what it is. I mean, you like combine everything you are with this person because you really are willing to do that, to let yourself be part of that person. And you want to be part of that person too.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think some people do it in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Where they almost share identities.
Yeah.
But I think it's very difficult actually to get close to somebody and still maintain who you are.
How have you, if you have, not lost your identity in marriage? I am struggling with how do I keep being Sakina and not just be somebody's wife and somebody's mom. Like, I don't want that to be the end all of my story. Like, I'm a wife and a mom and that stops. Like, I still want to be an educator. I still want to be a friend. I still want to be these things and have aspirations. And sometimes I feel like when women get married and have kids, their life stops. Or you're ashamed if you leave your children and your husband to go do something. I don't mean leave, like, I don't be with you all anymore. But even, like, take a trip or go do an internship in another country for a month. Like, do you have any advice for that?
I think it all depends on your spouse when you're dating. I think that that is a conversation to have and just something to pray for too, because I've seen women that once they get married, they kind of lose their identity. Once they have a baby, they lose their identity and they're okay with that. Like, I'm not okay with that. And Taiwan knows that. So when I'm not with him, he's building me up or he's talking about me. The way he treats me, he would not let me do that. At times, when we first got married, I'd have been okay, just kind of being like his little prop. But he wouldn't let me do that. So he constantly challenges me. He constantly pushes me out there. But like yesterday, I met with an old friend, and she's dating this guy, and it's all great. She did all of her prereqs to go to nursing. That was her dream. Now that they're talking about marriage, he wants her to be a stay-at-home mom. And she's like, if I get into nursing, I'm like, is that really what you want? You know, so I think it just really depends on you. If you want to be his wife and that's who you are, go. But if not, that's something that you take up with him before you get to that area. He respects you for that. Yeah. And you'd be surprised, like when you find that guy, you think he's gonna take what you say a certain way and you just put it on the table, and how much love and grace and how he'll appreciate you just coming out with it.
You just heard the first part in a two-part series about healthy relationship. In this particular episode, we talk about self-love and what it looks like to, first of all, know yourself and then love the person that you are and embrace the person that you are in its entirety. And then to have the firmness and have the strength to be able to set those boundaries with other people. Because when you're good with yourself and you have that love and respect for yourself, then when it comes to the partner that you're going to be with, or the friends that you put yourself around, or even the way that you set boundaries with your parents, it changes the way that you interact with them, what you're willing to put up with, and it really builds that solid foundation for when you decide to build something with someone else in a relationship. In the next episode, we'll be building on this theme of having a healthy relationship with yourself. We'll be touching on the emotional risk and the effort that goes into healthy relationships. A lot of us were not born with healthy perspectives. We didn't have healthy examples to look to. In talking to some of my friends, I noticed that there was a general theme of sometimes jumping into the unknown, putting in effort towards something that you know is better for you, but not necessarily knowing the specific outcome, and just fighting to be the person that you want to be and fighting to have the relationship that you want to have. It's not always easy, and sometimes it's a black box until you open it. That's it for this week, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.